Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Krista Joy from DisneyWays.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in today. Wherever you are and whatever you're doing right now, we appreciate you sharing your time with us, and welcome to your source for Disney Parks news and information, including in-depth interviews with your favorite Disney celebrities and so much more. Today, we have news from Disneyland Paris, changes in your FastPass Plus experience, and we're going to announce the winner of our latest contest. So, Tony, will you get us started today?
I can. I will. I should. Welcome, all the Mouseketeers out there. If you go to the DisneyParksPodcast.com website, we've added something interesting there. On the right-hand side, you'll see this little red bar that you can click on, and then you can leave us a message just using your laptop or computer speaker, and it's as simple as that. So you don't even have to call us anymore. You just hit the little thing, a little window will pop up. You may have to grant it permission to use your microphone, which you hit the allow. You record your message, which can be up to 90 seconds long. And then if you do, we will use your message here on the show. So I'm encouraging you to maybe do this when you're at the parks. You can go to the parks, and if you see something interesting or you're doing something interesting and you want to tell us about it, leave us a message, and then we will take those recordings and use them right here, and you will be able to hear your lovely voice come out of our speakers or your speakers right here on the show. Simple as that. One, two, three. Anything else we have to say about that, Krista?
Well, we talk enough, so we're excited to hear from you guys, so give us a call. Leave us a message.
Yeah.
And now, Disney Parks Podcast News.
There have been some subtle hints here and there that Disney is preparing for another royal coronation. Now, ever since, people have been speculating that there will soon be a Frozen coronation. So, just recently, we were told that the rumor is the coronation is going to take place on September 24th. So I went ahead and marked my calendar just in case this is true, because these coronations are a blast. We got to go and see Merida get coronated, and that was amazing. She came riding in on her beautiful black horse. It was just really something to see. So if this is really true, it's going to be a blast. And again, this isn't official yet, but maybe use a pencil and just write in your calendar September 24th, because we're hoping this one is true. We're excited about it. What do you think, Tony? I mean, it's a queen and a princess all in one day. So
this is the third one, right? They did, they've done Tangled, Brave, and now Frozen, right? Because I feel like I've been at a Tangled one.
I think Rapunzel's coronation was in Paris or something. Oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I'd
maybe
have to double check.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Let's do this. If this does happen on that day, let's have like a little mini meetup that day.
Yeah,
while we're in
that'd
the park.
Be great.
But I think, it'll be interesting. I think they're getting better at these, too. It'll be interesting to see how they do this one, too, since it'll be two of them, a queen and a princess, right?
Yeah, I bet it will be amazing. There's so much fanfare, and I love it.
It'd be nice if they could get Idina Menzel and Kristen Bell to come out.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Yeah, it would.
Hey, she's coming. No, I'm just kidding. I would like to see those two come out and do it. You know, it was in the Brave one, the mother was there. I don't know who they would do because their parents die in the movie, so.
Well, we would have Josh Gad. We would have Olaf.
Yeah. Oh, that would be good, too.
That'd be cool, right? He's done stuff for, Disneyland, so maybe you'd come over here and do some stuff for us. That'd be neat.
Yeah, but he lives in California. He's not going to fly all the way over here just to do a coronation, which takes only 10 minutes. It's all done.
Yeah, it depends on if they were going to pay him or not. Well, that's I guess.
True. Or give him a free stay, which they probably do anyway. I mean, we waited longer than the ceremony lasted, right?
We sure did. Yeah. It was a long wait. Yeah. We tried to get there early so we could get close.
Yeah.
But that's the key. You got to do that.
Right. And then somebody passed out because they were too dehydrated.
Yeah. Poor guy.
Good stuff. See all the fun you can have in the Disney park.
This is the insider information that you get only on the Disney Parks podcast.
Yeah. Hey, if you didn't know it, I have a website that's called Disney by the Numbers. Just throwing that out there. No.
You do?
I do. And so keeping with my numbers theme, I found this interesting story on the internets. This is interesting stuff because Disney does not post admission statistics, okay? And I'm not even sure that, you know, that I guess these are accurate. I mean, they're published. It's a, you know, it's a whole association. The Theme Entertainment Association, the acronym TEA, and the AECOM released the theme park attendance report for 2013 calendar year. So I always get excited when these things come out because I always, you know, I like to try and take the statistics of, you know, how many people attended and then put a ticket price on it and try to calculate how much money the park made and then see if that matches up with the annual report. Just stuff I do in my head, you know, just for fun. But anyway, so all of the Disney theme parks in the U.S. showed gains in 2013 with one park up 9.5 over the prior year, okay? Disney's four Florida theme parks added more than 1.6 million additional guests in 2013 than they did over the prior year, 2012. No surprise, the Magic Kingdom had the best attendance. They were up 6% to a total of 18,588,000 guests during 2013. So if you were one, you can raise your hand and say, hey, I'm one of the 18 million people that went to the Magic Kingdom in 2013. Let's see, what else? Disney's Animal Kingdom and Disney's Hollywood Studio were also up 2% each, with the annual attendance eclipsing the 10.1 million mark. Epcot finished up the year with a 1.5 gain, with a total of 11,229,000 guests. The Magic Kingdom again earned the title as number one most visited theme park in the world.
Wow.
Number one visited theme park in the world.
Incredible. And it's almost twice the Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom.
That's right. Now, what do you think, you know, if we can get these numbers again next year, what do you think it'll be with the opening of the Mine Train? Do you think we'll break 20 million?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, so it'll be interesting. Typhoon Lagoon and Blizzard Beach also had gains of about roughly 2%. They were up to 2.142 million people. And that was for Typhoon. Blizzard Beach was at 1.968 million people. So that's interesting. I always thought that the water parks would have more than, you know, 2 million or 1 million. So that's, you know, kind of low, I think.
Yeah, compared to the others.
Yeah.
Very low.
Yeah. Disneyland had a 1.5% growth with their attendance at 17.214 million. Tokyo Disneyland rose 16%. That's double-digit gains in 1 year to 17.2 million guests. Disney's California Adventure only had a gain of 9.5, and they went to 8.5 million guests. So California Adventure rose one whole spot in the worldwide chart, passing the Islands of Adventure as the number 10th most visited park in the world. So,
wow.
You can go check out all this stuff at AECOM.com website. It's called the Complete Global Attraction Attendance Report. So if you're into numbers and stats and things like that, That seems like a great place to go. Obviously, I'm going to have to put these on my website and incorporate them into my thing, because people always ask, you know, how many people go to the Magic Kingdom? So there you go.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yep.
So next we have some Disneyland Paris news, and this comes to us from our Disneyland Paris correspondent, Laura, and she is, you can follow her at That Disney Lover on Twitter. So here's what she sent us this week. The Swing into Spring Festival that is currently still on at Disneyland Paris until the 22nd of June has been announced in the new brochure to be returning next year. No announcements of any changes have been made, but they're bringing it back. So that's cool. The new brochure for Disneyland Paris Winter 2014-2015 has been released. So if you're planning a trip to Disneyland Paris, make sure to check that out for seasonal dates, hotel prices, and more. Anna and Elsa from Disney's Frozen are rumored to have their first Paris meet and greet over the Christmas season. It is rumored the two princesses are to be put at Casey's Corner, where Rapunzel is currently doing meet and greets for the spring. However, this is just a rumor, and they are still currently only in the parade. More rumors include that next year the Jedi Training Academy might be coming to Disneyland in the Videopolis Theater Hyperion Cafe for summer 2015. From what has been told, it will be the same show as at Walt Disney World and Disneyland California, with Darth Vader, Jedi Knights, Stormtroopers, and many other popular Star Wars characters. Very cool. Indiana Jones, the Temple of Peril ride, has been reopened after a long 5-month refurbishment, redoing the track, decoration around the ride, and improvements to safety. And then finally, a Run Disney event has rumored to be planned for the 1st of September 2015, with the course going through the Disney Village and around the hotels, not through the parks like at Walt Disney World or Disneyland, California. So this sounds really cool. There's a lot of great stuff going on in Paris, and it's good to know that if you don't want to wait in line here to see Anna and Elsa, you may be able to go to Paris and see them. Maybe the line will be a little shorter over there.
Yeah, it's only an 8-hour flight, so.
Yeah, you know. 8 hours in an airplane, 4 hours here.
Yeah.
Sun, you know.
But it is interesting that the Disney Synergy, where they're going to get some Star Wars stuff. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see a lot of this, and I think we're going to see the Marvel brand. I know we're going to see the Marvel brand in the other parks way before we see it here in the States because of our licensing issues. It's already in Disneyland, California, and a couple of things there, and now I'm sure it's going to be, all over the place. So.
Yeah, very cool.
No surprise there.
We just want to thank Laura really quick for sending that in. We appreciate you so much. And again, she's at That Disney Lover on Twitter. She also has an awesome YouTube channel. So, and then you have some FastPass Plus news for us, Tony.
As always, nothing like some Disney news without some FastPass news.
Right.
It seems as if starting, I think this is going to be June 16th, subject to change, as always. They're going to be changing some of this Epcot and Hollywood Studios tier grouping. Okay? So at the studios, the Great Movie Ride is moving up to Group 1. So that means if you want to see this, your choices will be Toy Story Mania, Rock and Roll Roller Coaster, Fantasmic, Beauty and the Beast, or the Great Movie Ride. That's all now in the Tier 1 group. Okay? So at the Epcot, they're moving the Living with the Land up to group one. So if you want something in this group, it'll be Illuminations, Soarin', Test Track, or Living with the Land. And what happens in this group one is you can only select one of these. So what they're really saying is, we think these are the really good attractions, so we only want you to see one. The thing is, once you've gone through your three passes, you can then get the fourth, which means you can then go back and see one of these other Group 1 items again. So it's not that you're only limited to one, but you're only limited to one during that first round selection. So I will post all of the changes to the show notes, and then you can see the whole entire list there. Just careful that if you're going to be picking your fast passes June 16th or on, there are going to be some studios and Epcot changes. And if you've already picked your Fast Passes, maybe you want to go back on June 16th and take a different look at them, and maybe there's some other choices that you want to do or move your Fast Passes around at that time. Anything else on that, Krista?
No, it's just interesting stuff, you know, watching all this unfold and seeing what they finally end up doing to get it just right for everybody. It's cool to watch.
Yeah, I think we're going to see some more changes over the summer, depending on the crowd, you know, how the crowds are going. You know, right now they do open parks, or they keep parks open later than, you know, scheduled. You know, like sometimes it's the, you know, typically the Hollywood Studios is always open an hour or two later. And it even happens at the Magic Kingdom. You know, they'll go to 11, now they're going to, you know, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, depending on the crowd. So I think they'll be tweaking the FastPass system throughout the summer based on crowds, too. We'll see what happens there. Okay, also this week, down in what is still called Downtown Disney for right now, in the Marketplace area, or what's still called the Marketplace area for right now, which will then become the Landing, hopefully soon. They opened up what they're calling the Market Co-op. And what Disney is doing is that this is, they took the old Team Disney store, and they put six little mini pop-up shops in it. And it's a way for them to kind of test things, to see what people like and what people don't like, and, you know, kind of get people's opinion based on, I think their opinion based on sales. That's, I think, how they're going to judge this stuff.
Yeah.
Because nobody asked for my opinion on anything when I was in there. Except for, can we charge that to you, sir? Yeah. So there's five stores, six stores. What is it? It's the Beautiful Disney store. It's the Cherry Tree Lane store, the D-Tech On Demand store, the Trophy Room Disney Centerpiece, a store called Zoe and Pickles. Now, the Beautiful Disney is all the makeup and fragrances and beauty accessories. It was nothing really special in there. Anything you've seen in, you know, most of the other larger stores like World of Disney and the Emporium, places like that, it was really just more of the same. They may have said it has some more things there. Listen, I'm not a woman. I couldn't tell you if they had, you know, three more lipsticks than they did somewhere else. So. I don't know. I don't wear lipstick. The Cherry Tree Lane store was very interesting. They obviously they had some Mary Poppins-ish things there because Cherry Tree Lane is for Mary Poppins. They also had all the Dooney and Burke and Vera Bradley and all those kind of purses there as well. But the main thing was they did have some, you know, Cherry Tree Lane Mary Poppins and style bags and scarves and umbrellas and things like that. So that was fun to see. The D-Tech On Demand store was nothing more than a cell phone, iPad, tablet case thing. Almost every character imaginable can now be put on a cell phone case. It is, they have a whole wall full of all of the samples. And the way you kind of go do this is you go to an iPad, no surprise there. You tell it what kind of cell phone you have or what kind of tablet you have. And then you flip through all these kinds of different designs. They're in different categories, whether it's Pixar or Disney characters or movies or TV shows or things like that. You can have it customized. So a regular case without customization is $39.99. And with customization, it's $44.95. Now, if you want a cell phone case, you could probably get one for cheaper. Okay. This is nothing more than a plastic case with a Disney sticker on the back. I'm just saying it the way it is. Yes, they're cute. Yes, they're interesting designs. But if you had a sticker machine at home, you could probably put a sticker on the back of your cell phone and have the same thing. I'm just throwing that out there, folks. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was cute. Yes, it was great to see all the different designs. And I'm not saying that you should go steal or copyright Disney trademark things, but I'm just saying it is what it is. It's nothing more than a sticker for $39.95. The other store they had was called this Trophy Room, and this was like vintage-inspired lifestyle sports and apparel and collectibles. I didn't see a lot of collectibles. I saw more shirts than I did. And think of the old, oh gosh, I can't even think of what they used to call those. Remember with the...
Was it Team Mickey or...
It was like the three-quarter shirts, you know, three-quarter sleeves that were, you know, like they'd be red and then the...
Oh, like you're talking about the vintage, old school.
Yeah, old school jerseys and things like that. And they had, you know, like 1971 on them. So they were, you know, kind of like a throwback to the old style Walt Disney World shirts that we would have gotten probably when we were kids back in the 70s and 80s. Okay? So they had some things like that there. Some of them were cool. Some of them were, you know, not so nice looking. They could have worked on some of the designs. The most popular store in the building and was the most crowded and probably could have taken the entire store, the entire building itself, was a store called Disney Centerpiece. And this was all home products and room furnishings and textiles and all this kind of stuff. Think of the old Disney home store that we used to have over by Earl of Sandwich. That's what this is now. So it's all plates and dishes and mugs and cups and pot holders and pillows and rugs and all the stuff that you would put in your house. Some of the designs are great. Some of them are not so terrific. Some of them is stuff that we've already have, like the black and white design, which has been out for a while. But all the plates that have the land on them, or a picture of, you know, Frontierland, Adventureland, Fantasyland, Tomorrowland, those were probably the most popular. The bowls that go with it have a vintage map on them. The Orange Bird stuff was flying off the shelf. They had Orange Bird cups. They had Orange Bird shot glasses or toothpick holders. They had Orange Bird bowls. They had Orange Bird pitchers. All of that stuff is flying off the shelf. They had some other stuff that seems like it's from Epcot in one corner. But this store was crazy busy. The other store, the last and final store, was called Zoe and Pickles. And I did not really go in there. And, you know, I poked my head in and looked around real quick. But it's really just for your girls, your teen girls. And this had, you know, all kinds of dresses and skirts and, you know, earrings and necklaces and things like that. So... Mm-hmm. Not really interesting for me.
Right. Trends and glamour for little fashionistas.
Yeah, yeah.
Tony Casanova's. So.
Yeah, exactly. Now, had I, you know, I swear Disney does not listen to anybody, but, you know, men buy clothes too. We don't walk around naked, Disney. We would like some shirts too, you know. Something more than just a t-shirt, you know. Or a shirt with a Mickey golfing on it, you know. Mm-hmm. There's only how many Mickey golf shirts can I have?
You right.
Know? Put somebody else on it. Goofy, Donald, Buzz, Marvel, Iron Man, somebody, something, help. Star Wars. You know. So get rid of Zoe's and Pickles and put in men's sportswear, you know, and put on some stuff like that. You have a woman's store. You have Trendy to put, send the teens already, so give us a, or even the trophy room, turn it into a men's sporting apparel, you know, something. I'm just saying. Yeah. I think the store is going to be a hit, and the concept behind this too is that they're not filling a whole store, so if they want to take one of these out and retheme it, all of this stuff is like on wheels. It could be moved out. It could be moved around. So it's not, you know, fixtures that are stuck in this building and they have to keep it there for months and months. The whole idea is that they can change these out whenever they want. Just roll these cabinets out, put some different stickers on them, and put in a whole new little pop-up shop. How often they do this is yet to be seen. I have a feeling they're going to stay for probably a year or so, my guess, unless it really bombs. Zoe and Pickles, then, you know, maybe they'll get rid of it and put in something different. But
yeah,
really, and Crystal, cool. You have not been there yet. That's right, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. I haven't made it out there yet. I'm ashamed to say. But it's on the list, so yeah. I'm looking forward to checking it all out very soon.
Yeah.
The Starbucks is awesome. That's on the west side. So if that's an indication, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing the rest. So.
Yeah, I know some of the other construction too. The Saratoga Springs walkway is almost complete. I know the other walkway to the Rainforest Cafe from the Lego area is also almost all complete. I think, you know, they're saying that this fall, the landing will be almost complete. And I think they're really pushing to get that done so that they can start the World of Disney Store construction. You know, the rumor is that the World of Disney Store is going to expand the entire area of the parking lot in front of it. So that's going to be a huge expansion.
So fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to Walt Disney World Construction World.
Yes, at least for a while. So, but lots to look forward to. And that's coming, all coming soon. And over on the West Coast, we've got some Disneyland news for you from our friend Randy Crane. And, of course, you can find Randy at faithinthemagickingdom.com. So here's Randy's Disneyland news for the week. He says, Disney Parks blog announced this week that Adventures by Disney just released a special out-of-this-world departure of the Southern California Disney Backstage itinerary to take place during January 12th through the 18th, 2015. This departure will grant families access to the Run Disney inaugural Star Wars Half Marathon weekend. In addition to receiving access to the Star Wars Rebel Challenge, Star Wars Half Marathon 10K, and Star Wars 5K, guests who book this trip can participate in an exclusive group run in iconic Hollywood and access the Star Wars Wookiee Welcome Party. Speaking of Rebel Challenge, Randy says he's registered for this one already, so he's excited about it. Now, this trip also includes various unique experiences, including a rare Behind the Magic private tour of the Walt Disney Studios, a tour of Walt Disney Imagineering, and the Jim Henson Company, which is not regularly open to the public, a private tour of Walt Disney's Disneyland apartment, and the Disneyland Dream Suite, also a two-day VIP experience at Disneyland Resort with special fast pass service to multiple rides at Disneyland Park and Disney California Adventure Park. Now, this galactic 7-day, 6-night itinerary is a must for both Star Wars and Disney fans alike. For more information or to book this adventure, you can contact your authorized Disney vacation planner. Now, summer is always full of fun at the Disneyland Resort and usually a few surprises. And Randy says he will keep the Disney Parks podcast listeners up to date with anything that he hears about. So this is so cool. So they're kind of integrating the Star Wars stuff over at Disneyland, just like you were mentioning a little while ago.
Yep. Just another way to mix that Disney synergy all together.
Yeah, yeah. With the Wookiee Welcome Party. Say that five times fast. That's neat.
Wookiee Welcome. Wookiee. It's like Tiki Tachi. Yeah. Or Wiki Wachi.
Wiki Wachi, yeah.
Yeah, we used to have a Wiki Wachi.
We still do.
Do we?
Yep. Yep, it's here in Florida. There's so, for people that don't know, old Florida, there is a park in Florida called Wiki Wachi. It's one of the original parks that were ever built in this area. And they had mermaids and a mermaid show. And it still exists today. Our friend Jason Mayhew, who writes for OrlandoFunAndFood.com, he posted about it, his recent visit there. So if you want to check that out, it's kind of cool to kind of look and see what else is out here besides Disney. Although that's, you know, going to be the best always. There are other options if you want to check something different out here.
Did they not have, like, the water skiing show? Was that there?
Or was that was big at Cypress Gardens.
Cypress Gardens.
Yeah.
Which is now Legoland, right?
It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. And Disney had it too, but they got rid of theirs too. The good old days.
Mm-hmm.
Wave machines and water skiing shows out on the Seven Seas Lagoon. Made way for ferry boats and other boats. Okay, enough of the past. Let's move on with the future. June 28th, we are having a little mini meetup. At Club Cool in Epcot from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. We are then going to go over and see our Disney master artist, Kevin John, over at the Art at Disney at 2 p.m. He is signing his new art piece called Flowers and Figment from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. And listen, if you want one of the 95 limited edition pieces, I suggest not getting there at 2 o'clock like when we're going to go over there. I would suggest you get there probably around noon and be in line, because he's only signing the, he's doing a special signing for those 95 limited edition pieces. And then if you buy one of the other ones, obviously, with Walt Disney artists, he will sign them for you. Go over to... Okay, so June 28th, come and meet us from 1 to 2 at Club Cool. Then we're all going to go as a group over to see Kevin John over at the Art of Disney store over in Epcot from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. After that, Kevin is out of there. So that's it. If you want one of these pieces, Flowers and Figment, I would highly suggest that you get there early. Don't wait for us at Club Cool. Get there at noon and get your piece signed, because I believe he told us that there was only going to be 95 of the special limited edition pieces, and after that, they're gone. And I believe the size for that limited edition, I think he said, was a 16 by 20. So that's a pretty good size piece. Okay, we also want to announce we had a contest for Keith Lapning Button. And the contest was you had to go to iTunes and give us a rating and a review. And if you did, we were going to randomly choose a winner. And we now have a winner. And the winner that wrote the review that got selected, it was completely random. We took the people, we put it in a random number generator, and out came the winner, which is their iTunes name is Disney Anna. So it's D-I-S-N-E-Y-A-N-A. If that person would like to go to the Disney Parks podcast page and then click our new Leave Us a Voicemail button and tell us, obviously, your name and an address where we can send your Keith Lapning Button to, we will get that in the mail to you as soon as you leave us your address.
And we won't play it on the air, so don't worry about that.
Yeah, we won't play your address in the air. We might play your name on the air if you want to give us your name. We will play your say your real name if you want. If not, we're fine with that too. So everybody that did that, we thank you. If you want to continue to do that, we would love to have you continue to do that. It was easy to give away a button. And if you subscribe to the newsletter, you got a special contest for another Keith Lapning Button. Right? That's what we're giving away? Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what we're giving away anymore. So if you subscribe to the newsletter, then you got it in the mail. If you don't subscribe to the newsletter, then you didn't get a new way to win another Keith Lapning Button. So we said we were going to do it, and we did it. There it is. The first newsletter went out. If you want, go to DisneyParksPodcast.com, subscribe to the newsletter. And that's how we're going to put some special contests out there and some other things that we're going to do.
Right on. We are super excited about the newsletter and just all the special things and offerings we're going to be able to do through that. So be sure to, you know, sign up if you haven't already. We're not going to, you know, send you stuff every single day and spam you, but it will be occasional and it'll hopefully be all stuff that you're interested in that you want to read. So we're trying to keep it short and sweet, you know, and effective.
And now, the Disney Parks Podcast Infotainment Segment.
Still standing in some other line. It may be shorter than the other line, but it's still a line. It's still hot. So, I do other things in the park besides ride rides during the summer. Being a local, I can always come back. This is not my only trip. So I have options. I don't, you know, not everybody has options like we do as locals. But thought I'd put a list together of things that you can do if you don't want to ride the rides. If you just want to go to the park and enjoy other things that you can do in the park, okay? Besides riding rides. I know that sounds crazy, but not everybody wants to ride a ride. This is our list. I will start. Kristen, why don't you start?
Okay. Well, I think I will start with reminding everyone about, are you ready? This is my lead up to this. What about visiting the Adventures of the Seven Seas Pirate? Yes, the pirate game, the interactive pirate game at
the Magic Kingdom, I think it's overlooked. It's kind of an overlooked hidden gem. A lot of people still, I don't know if they're aware that it exists. One of the cool things is they have a gorgeous map that you get to pick up and take with you. And that's an awesome souvenir. I mean, this is a serious, beautiful map. And there's different ones because there's, I think, 9 different adventures that you can do. You don't need anything extra. You just bring your magic band. And you will, you know, you get to go to station to station. And unlike the Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom, which to me is more futuristic because you've got the movies and the graphics going on, this is an Adventureland. So it's a little more rustic, a little bit more, you know, there's animatronics involved, things with the water, just a lot of fun and something new and different to do if you just need to, you know, kill some time until your next fast pass, something like that. You know, and they're really quick adventures too. Like, it's not going to take you all day to do one of these. It's fairly quick, not a whole lot of walking because you're staying right there in Adventureland. I think it's cool. It's kind of an overlooked thing. I know Tony's not a huge fan of this one.
Yeah, it's not as interactive as, like Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom or the Agent P. I think it's now the Muppet Game. It's not as interactive as those. These, I don't know. It's more of a puzzle thinking game. You know, you have to really think about the clue and then go find the next, you know, clue. That's my take on it. All right, so we did mention 2 others in that sentence. There is the Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom. There's a couple different places to get game cards in the Magic Kingdom. Obviously, this is in the Magic Kingdom. It's called the Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom. And then this has a couple different, you know, ways that you can go to. They can start you in different places, depending on maybe where you're going to start your day. One place to get a game card is the Firehouse, and the other place is by the Christmas store, Liberty Square. You can get game pieces there, too. We've had on, I can't think of her name.
Ivy
Rosado, who told us all about this game. So go back and listen to that episode, and then you figure out how to play this game. And then the other one is in Epcot. And that's, what is it now?
It's Agent P, and then they also had a Muppet game during Flower and Garden. I'm not sure if it's still there or not, but Agent P is still there for sure.
And then there is a game in the Animal Kingdom, and that's the Wilderness Explorers. I haven't been to that game. No surprise there. Maybe, no, I'm not going to go try it this summer.
I haven't done it either, but a friend of mine wrote a wonderful blog post on DisneyWays.com. She has little ones, and she teaches you how to do that whole, complete that whole process in one day. So if you're interested in that, go to, you know, DisneyWays.com, type in Wilderness Explorers in the search, and you'll see that pop up. But this is a cool thing. Like, Tony, we need to make an effort and go do this when it cools off a little bit.
Yeah, January.
It's a fun thing. Yeah, like January.
Yeah, I've heard the stickers for this game are very cool looking.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder if, all right. Yeah, maybe. Maybe after they build Avatar Land, I'll go.
Okay, all right. It's a deal. So the next thing I wanted to talk about is snacking. So, you know, Disney World is just famous for all the different varieties of things to find and eat. Now, so, you know, there are things that exist out there where you it's actually like they're called crawl map, where you can go around and, you know, try all the cupcakes in different areas, stuff like that. You know, there are things like out there that exist like that. So you can, you know, if you did a little research, really, you could create your own. Like, say you really love, like cupcakes, for example.
Chocolate.
Or chocolate. You can go around and find chocolate in all different areas of the park and just check them off as you go, and you'll know that you've sampled all your, you know, the chocolate in the various places and stuff like that. So this is really fun. And at Disneyland, I know that their popcorn machines are very special there. They're a lot different than ours. So I know that when I go to Disneyland, that's going to be one of the things that I do, is just seek out those little popcorn carts, because I want to see those for myself. Snacking is big.
And you can do, like, sweet snacks or savory snacks. You know, sometimes you can get something and then share it with somebody. So you don't always have to get, you know, a whole complete lunch or a whole complete meal. You know, sometimes, you know, have your breakfast in your room and get out the door, get to the park, and then kind of snack your way around. You don't have to sit down and have a whole big, you know, sit-down meal. If you want to do that, you do that. But snacking is a fun way of just, getting around the parks and not having to go on rides, go find some more different and strange snacks in the park. Fun thing I like to do is photography. I wouldn't even call myself an amateur photographer. I would call myself somebody with a camera that can take pictures. That would be about it. I know how to point it, and I know how to shoot it. And that's about it. If it has an A for auto, I'm good. I'm good to go.
I'm with you there.
I mean, I have a really nice DSLR, and I'm still learning how to use it the best way. But I like taking pictures of the buildings and the art and the ceilings and the floors. Listen, there's a lot to see at Disney. Everything is themed. Everything is decorated. Everything has a purpose. Everything helps to tell the story. So taking pictures of all these things is interesting. I would probably say more pictures of Disney buildings and attractions than I do of my family, which is probably a bad thing. Somebody would probably think I'm a Disney architect by looking at my pictures, and then, oh, you do have a family.
Yeah. So
that's what I like to do. I mean, taking pictures of, you know, even the landscape is, you know, the grounds are completely covered with flowers and manicured grass and, you know, moats and water features and fountains. So just go around and take a lot of pictures. Listen, back in the day when you had to process the film and bring it to a place and they turned it into pictures and you got back negatives and big, those days are gone. Just go out and get the largest card you can put in your camera and then just fill it up with photos. When you get back into your hotel room, take them off, put them on a nice safe hard drive, and go back the next day and take more pictures. I have a 32 gig card on my point and shoot that can take 3,000 pictures. Will I take 3,000 pictures in a day? No. But it is certainly fun to try and fill it up. My last trip to Disneyland for the Expo, I did take almost 1,000 pictures in one day.
Wow.
Because it's free. If I don't like it, I just get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Yeah, why not?
Photography is a great way to spend a day in the park.
I would have to agree with that one. That's a good one. Also, I think we should mention Hidden Mickey hunting. Even when the attractions are down, this is a wonderful hobby. And of course, if you haven't heard, a hidden Mickey is defined as a representation of Mickey Mouse that's been inserted subtly into the design of many resorts and other areas on Disney property, and of course, inside the theme parks themselves. Now, you know, for example, a hidden Mickey could be like the light brown classic Mickeys that are near the top of the columns outside the World of Disney store, or the there's a few in the queue line at the Little Mermaid attraction. So just fun things like that. Now, the way to do this is to pick up a copy of Steve Barrett's book, The Hidden Mickey Guide. Now, that can be found in bookstores inside the parks themselves, or you can go on Amazon or, you know, lots of places to get his book. And you can just go through and, you know, check them off one by one. I've always, Tony, I don't know if you've done this yet, but I have always wanted to go and spend a day just doing this, like not even riding anything, yeah, just going around and finding the hidden Mickeys, because it is so fun to point those out to people that, you know, if it's their first time or whatever, and just to kind of explain what it is. And because this is part of what makes Disney special, is these little details that you're just not going to find anywhere else. So I think you could spend probably more than one day just finding hidden Mickeys inside the parks and never even stepping foot on an attraction or a ride. So it's a fun thing.
Yep. Steve also has a app that you can get on Android or iOS. So if you don't want to carry around the book, you can go and get his app and do a lot of the Mickey hunts with your cell phone. You can do it that way. If you do see Steve Barrett in the parks, he's the one walking around looking for hidden Mickeys. Please go up and say hello. He is, you know, very generous with his time. He will sign your book. He will, you know, give you tips and give you tricks and show you some Mickeys that you may not find. He is often in the parks verifying and checking out all these hidden Mickeys. So just Steve and his wife Vicky are two great people. And if you do see them in the parks, you know, please go up and say hello. They They love to talk to people.
And also, you can check out his website right now from home if you wanted to, hiddenmickeyguy.com.
Yep.
And you can see all the different ones. It looks like he's even found some on the mine train.
So already?
Pretty awesome. Yeah. Wow.
He's good, that Mr. Barrett.
He sure is.
Yeah, we have to have him on the show again. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
I feel like I need a Hidden Mickey. Yeah, refreshers. Yeah. Wait, maybe he tells about some of the new stuff. I know one of the best ones was at the Little Mermaid attraction. It only happens on Mickey's birthday.
Unbelievable. That's the coolest thing. I know. I learned about that recently.
I learned about it after the fact. After it was too late to go see.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? I think it was this Jim Corcus. No, it wasn't Jim.
Yeah, I think it was Jim that mentioned it. Alluded to it.
Yeah. Anyway, super cool. We gotta make a whole meetup out of it next year and check that out.
Yep. Okay. So next, something I love to do. Not everybody does, but I love to go shopping at Disney. Listen, there's a store everywhere. There's not there's two or three in every resort. There's Downtown Disney. There's all of the stores you wind up in after you get off your attraction. There is lots of fun and interesting things to find at Disney. Some of it Disney themed, some of it not Disney themed. An interesting place to go is in Epcot and World Showcase. Most of the stuff in those countries are from those countries and are not Disney themed. So if you're just looking for, you know, some interesting things, you know, from Norway or Japan or, you know, Italy, go to World Showcase and walk around World Showcase to each one of those little shops. And you know, a lot of them have interesting food from that country, too, which we've talked about Japan. Japan's got a great snacking thing if you want a snack. That's probably the best place to go get a snack is in Japan. Mm-hmm. Italy's got some great candy in there. Germany's got, you know, caramel. They got the caramel clink, you know, store, as I call it. So, but, you know, shopping is fun. And, you know, go to the resorts. Even if you're not staying at the resort, you know, if you're going to the Magic Kingdom or your family went to the Magic Kingdom, get on the monorail and go around to all of the resorts on the monorail loop. You know, you got Grand Floridian, you got Poly, you got Contemporary. If you want, you even take a boat over to the Wilderness and Fort Wilderness and go check out those shops. That is a great way to kind of be air conditioned and outside and inside. So you get a little bit of both. It's a fun thing to do. Go give it a shot.
Totally. And, you know, a lot of the shopping you can do without a park ticket even. So that's a little bonus. So with that, are we ready to wrap it up, Tony? Was there any other ones you wanted to add?
I'll just say two things that you can go do. One is press pennies. I know there's some websites that will tell you every pressed penny design and where to find it. And the other thing to do if you're just walking around the parks is bring some pins with you and you can do some pin trading. Go up to cast members and other guests and you can pin trade the whole day and not get on a single attraction.
Make those memories and, you know, try some new things the next time you come visit. So. Lots of great ideas there for you. I hope some of that was helpful. If, you know, your favorite attraction is down, maybe you want to do something else. If there's some ideas for you and, you know, something new to try. We appreciate your time. Thank you so much for tuning in with us today. We hope you enjoyed the show and we will see you in the parks.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc., are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through.